The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghostbox Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Now, I have to say, I've gotten a lot of great feedback about our episode last night with Dave Schrader, the episode that we recorded from the Anderson House this last week and in front of an audience. It's the first time we've really ever done anything like that, and it went over very well. Of course, Dave himself being, you know, the consummate professional that he is. That was a lot of fun, and we're going to be doing a lot more of that. So thank you very much for those comments. If you have feedback about anything else we're doing, please send me a note over at comment@ghostboxradio.com. Now, I'm really excited. Today's Casual Friday, so we're going to have a little bit of fun today, and it's going to be, you know, it's just, let's just see what rolls in, what we're going to talk about, anything else. It's open. Don't forget, you can call me at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Whatever's on your mind, let me know. Paranormal-wise, I know that Michigan Paracon is happening this weekend. If you are there and you want to give us a call, let us know what the convention is like, how it's going, we'd love to hear from you. But we got a really, really cool first half hour here, and I've been very excited about this. Patty Vasquez is the host of Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez. That airs immediately after my show at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can listen to her show live on WCPT, 820 a.m., 5 to 7 p.m. daily. As it happens, I'm on her show tonight, or I guess you could say I've already been on her show. It's kind of this Doctor Who timey-wimey stuff going on here. But check it out after this show. I'm in the last half hour, but listen to the whole show. It's fascinating. They're talking about movies today, and it was fantastic. And we're going to have Patty come on here and talk about just some paranormal stuff and what she's experienced and stuff. It's going to be a fun time. Patty, welcome to Ghostbox Radio.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm under the covers. I've got a cup of tea. I feel ready for this.
Perfect. My gosh, you are really ready for this. That's fantastic. That's amazing. I do have to say, before I came on the show this afternoon, Mike and you were talking about the Star Wars films, and I think it was Mike that said his favorite of the prequels was Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and it immediately hit my mind. One of my most outstanding memories of that film was I was working at Best Buy Corporate, and we got an advanced screening of the film, which being a Star Wars fan was pretty amazing. And so we're in the audience and we're watching this train wreck of a Star Wars film. And
right?
Totally. And there is a point near the end of the film that Chewbacca is trying to help Yoda escape. And Chewbacca looks at Yoda and goes, and the woman next to me leans over and she's like, I think that's the best written line of the entire film. And
oh my God. Well, it's so funny because Mike was really like showing, he was like flying his Star Wars freak flag. I was like, I have no idea what we're talking about anymore. There've been so many incarnations and spinoffs and universes. I'm like, I don't know how to keep up.
And like you, I didn't know how to say Ahsoka until this afternoon.
There you go.
I mean, as we figured out, we're very much in the same wavelength on some of this stuff. And yes, Ahsoka, that's news to me. I think tonight when I get home, I think I might watch one of the episodes and check it out. We'll see. But we were talking earlier today about ghosts and paranormal and stuff, and I was telling you a little bit about the program and stuff, and you had mentioned that you had taken a trip with your husband to Waverly Hills Sanatorium and that there was a story attached to that. What was going on there?
Well, so I've been touring as a stand-up comic for about 25 years, so I'm fortunate enough to have traveled to towns that I might not otherwise have gone to. And
sure.
There's been a couple of other instances. I was at a hotel in Allentown. The thing is, here's the core of everything, is I desperately have wanted to have a ghostly encounter my entire life. And I think that's what keeps me from having a ghostly encounter. I think they can sense how desperate I am. Like as a girl
please,
that has a big crush on somebody.
Please come to me.
please show yourself. There are a couple things. So Waverly, I was on tour with the Bob and Tom Comedy All-Stars, and I had been addicted to that show, Ghost Hunters. I really enjoyed that. And
yeah.
If you ever saw the episodes with Waverly, just some really fun, creepy stuff. And it's such a rundown old, it just has all the elements of lending itself to that kind of experience. So when I found out I was going to be in Louisville, I was like, well, I got to go to Waverly. And I reached out to the owner. And the woman who owns it,
Tina,
was turning it into a bed and breakfast. Hmm. And that sounds kind of charming until you roll up on this building and it is massive.
Yes.
There's no way to describe just how the wings, it just looks like, it looks like something out of a horror movie. It's like on a hill. And it's stunning, but everything that was on Ghost Hunters, we walked through. Now, when we got there though, so my husband, we had two little boys at the time. They're now 18 and 20. So I think they were like 5 and 7. And I checked for airline tickets for him to come join me after my show and go take a tour. It was like $100 round trip. How do you not take that trip to
right.
see the Waverly Sanatorium?
Oh, absolutely.
So you got to do that. And we get there and everything was locked and we couldn't get a hold of anybody. And finally, I found a phone number and I got a hold of the owner. And she said that the woman who took she didn't know who took my reservation. She's like, I don't know who booked you for this. And no one we're not open on Sundays. And I was like, well, my husband flew down here for this. And she was really cool. And she took me on a tour. And she had some amazing stories in addition to what you'd seen on Ghost Hunters. And, the stories about a nurse killing herself because she had an affair with one of the doctors. But I will tell you, long story short, about what I encountered was zilch. And my husband says, if there was a ghostly encounter, it was because we wouldn't have known it because you were talking so much.
Wow. do you think that's what brings them? Do you think that's what brings them, is talking a lot or something? That's what summons them, is nonstop talking? Or
in retrospect, it was like daytime. It didn't seem like, we didn't have any equipment. I had like a little digital recorder.
Yeah.
And I've never gone back to like take a listen to see if anything happened. But Steve said he felt stuff, but I think that that time I was so amped about being there because it's such a beautiful, like just a crazy, peeling paint and deteriorating walls. And then you see the death chute where tens of thousands of people who lost their lives to tuberculosis were slid down. Have you heard, you know about Waverly, you said, right?
I absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So mine isn't necessarily a ghostly encounter. All of my ghost stories are desperately wanting to see ghosts.
Well,
like constantly.
And the thing is about those numbers is that they're not as many as that. They've actually been able to prove that it's not tens of thousands, but it's like around 6,000, maybe more or less. And I'm thinking that's still a large number. When you're in the thousands, it's pretty incredible. Now, Chicago isn't that far away, and we do a lot of events. I think what we need to do is get an event going in the Chicago area and get you out there and go to – I've always wanted to go.
Go ahead. No, I'll probably get me a gag so I don't talk the whole time.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, it is a bit of a community sort of mind thing going on there, that if there's one in the group who keeps talking – They take care of them. I mean, I'm not gonna say any more than that. But they're suddenly not in the group anymore. And I don't ask questions. I just keep things going. Now, I've always wanted to investigate Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. That is a very a hot spot for, and they don't let anyone in there anymore. They really don't want trespassers and whatnot. So, but
sure.
A couple places out there that I'd love to figure out, and you know, we should get an event going out there. We're going to do an event out in Atchison, Kansas, in May of next year. And we're hoping to maybe figure out a way to do something at Waverly as it happens. So definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. And, you know, if you want to get a paranormal experience, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, we're talking about our events and stuff, but we always get people who, when even we just did a big event with Dave Schrader at the Anderson House, and you get people who are always like, This has shifted my ideas of how this works. This has been incredible. Some will even go as far as saying life changing. So, we got you. We'll get you that,
yeah.
that spirit interaction, you know?
I would love that. And the other place, I don't know, Resurrection Mary, I haven't heard many stories about her. I don't know if you're familiar with her by the Willowbrook, dance, like a ballroom that's in the western suburbs.
Mm.
And that ballroom has since, the story was that, you know, people would see her on the side of the road. The Lady in White, you hear a lot of those stories.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the place where she was, you know, the story is that she was dancing at this event. And, you know, the boy that she was with got a little bit too handsy. And she started walking home and died, you know, was killed by a driver. Mm. And people always say that they can see her on the road. And generally people who are lost, again, people who are not looking for her.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's the stories of the woman. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, and the ballroom has since burned down in the last few years. I always go into, you know, for me, I think that like in search of ghosts, I do believe in the idea that energy is neither created nor destroyed. And
right.
I do think that there is energy that, you know, clings to space, to places and people. And I think that's part of, and you know, I've lost people, but I've never gone. I've had moments where I could smell cigarette smoke.
Yep.
My dad was a heavy smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And like just go at home and go looking for smoke. And like, that's my only one. And also one time, after he died, I had worked so hard to keep him healthy. And, I was always trying to give him better diets and find different treatments and stuff. And I was, after he passed away, I was in a bookstore and I just was looking around and I saw this one about the illness that he had, and I went to go reach for it, and the book literally like came off the shelf and hit me in the face. And it's the kind of way my dad would teach me, like, hey, you know, would treat me like, hey, knock it off. And I was like, okay. That made me stop trying to look for treatments for my dad.
Well, and it's interesting. It's interesting because when, if it resonates to you, then it's something important. Do you know what I mean? It's like if it makes you stop and think, gosh, that's what dad would do. That's what, you know, dad would smoke and stuff. That's, you know, you're getting those messages.
Well, my favorite one was about 6 weeks after he died. I had a dream about him, and we were sitting out on the front porch, and he goes, hey, don't worry about me, kid. I'm doing all right. And then he said, you know, Babe Ruth up there. And I was like, oh, did you meet him? He goes, ah, I don't want to bother the guy. And that's my favorite dream of my entire life.
Wow. So you start off the show by saying, you know, I really like to get a ghostly encounter. I'd really like to have, you know, some. And now you've told me like 10 things that's happened in your life that is incredible. And,
Because, you know, you wonder if your brain is filling in the things that you want to. And
sure.
I do feel the book one, I think, couldn't have been, there was no way. That's the only, like, I don't really tell many people that, you know, because I do sound like, you know, that's why you have this show, is that people feel comfortable sharing these stories. You brought it out of me.
Absolutely.
But I you know, had Ouija boards when I was little and always wanted, you know, let's be honest, I was pushing the little handpiece.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I was in high school, I know that the girl I was with was, you know, was like, you know, three of us, and she was pushing it to like, is there anyone in here that likes me? You know, that sort of thing, you know,
yeah.
Nice. But I have seven Ouija boards and,
seven.
Yeah, you know,
seven.
one for every day of the week, obviously. And one of them is over 100 years old.
Whoa, now there's some stuff that is attached to that. So not the Milton Brothers. You're saying you don't own any Milton Brothers?
I actually own two of them. And my greatest experience with the Ouija board is with one of those. And I want to share that with you. And why don't we do this? Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Ouija board. We're going to talk a little bit more with Miss Patty Vasquez. And we're just having a nice casual Friday. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Reach your highest level of consciousness and well-being with MetamorphosisConnections.com. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory of the best holistic and metaphysical practitioners to help you make your most informed choices. You can search MetamorphosisConnections.com for classes, events, wellness and life coaches, plus metaphysical products and shops. You can also search for a wide array of healers from all modalities, including EFT, sound healing, energy healing, light therapy, ancestral healing, shamanic healing, reflexology, past life regressions, hypnotherapy, yoga, and more. And if you're not sure where to start, the search feature on MetamorphosisConnections.com is tailored to help both those who know what they are looking for and those who are just starting. Come explore the possibilities for your higher self by visiting MetamorphosisConnections.com. Their experienced practitioners can guide both beginners and those that are already on their spiritual journey. That's MetamorphosisConnection.com, your link to direct you on your spiritual transformation.
And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and tonight we have special guest Patty Vasquez, who is the show after me, Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez. But if you are listening in Chicago or anywhere else from WCPT, her show's actually 5 to 7. And also, I am on tonight's episode of Driving Home with Patty Vasquez. In that last half hour, I tried to sound relatively intelligent, and I'm not quite sure if it worked or not. I don't think I pulled it off, but, you know.
You were great.
Yeah? Not too bad? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, it's funny that you said timey-wimey thing, because we'll be talking about this show in an hour.
Right, exactly. What I really like about it, though, is the people who don't like me and they avoid my show to listen to your show, they're still going to get me tonight.
Come on.
So, you know, and I do say, I do agree. I still believe that, you know, it's like inviting like a normal person into the Munster's house tonight. You know, it's we're, you know, you're just kind of like, oh, should I enter here? Should I do this? And hopefully it's not too weird. I mean, Adam is kind of weird, but, you know, what can you say? So my story, and a lot of people have heard this, so they're all going to be like, here we go again. But, you know, it's like having a nice guest in the house. You take out the fine china, and this is one of my fine pieces of evidence. So I didn't have a Ouija board, and I thought, you know what? For some reason, in 2019, I decided I need to have a Ouija board. And to start up, I you know, decided to do the Milton Bradley Hasbro, whatever it is, you know, a big spender over here. And I get it from that mystical paranormal place called Amazon. And it comes over to me. I get it. I take it out, put it on the table. I set it out. And I put my hand on the planchette. And nothing happens. And I'm like, well, you know, I didn't expect anything to happen. And you know, like you're saying, I, you know, I'm always worried if it does move or if I'm with somebody else and stuff starts moving. It's like, who's pushing this, right? Who's really running this? So I didn't think much about it. The next day I'm at work and I get this phone call on my cell phone. And the phone number is area code 952-666. And there's four other numbers.
Oh.
And I'm just like, I look to my coworker and I show her and I'm like, I ain't answering this. And we laugh it off. Hilarity ensued. And then there's a voicemail attached to it. And I'm like, whoa, okay, there's a voicemail. So I go and I play the voicemail and this is what we get.
How dare you?
Let me hear it.
Oh,
So now, now I heard.
What are the chances after you open? No. That's so weird.
So obviously I call the number back because it's like, okay, now I have to figure out what's going on here. And I call the number back and it's not a real phone number. It does. It's like, you know, it's like, this is not a phone number, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so I call the phone company and they're just like, we don't do numbers with 666 in them. And so, I mean, imagine that. And so I just was like, I don't know what this is. And you get this voicemail, this girl saying, how dare you? And it's either let me out of here or let me out again. It's something like that. And so that was, you know, frightening and not great. And a couple years later, I used to do using a piece of equipment called Spirit Box. It's like a little radio that scans through the radio frequencies really fast. And the theory is that, and it's not so much a theory, I believe it as fact, that spirits will talk to you. We did this one night and we had that same Ouija board out and I had a friend in and her name was Christy and she was kind of part of it. And I do the same thing. I look at the board. I don't have the board out, but I have it on camera because it's Facebook Live. And I'm like, you talked to me before. Can you talk to me again? Can you bang on walls? Can you do something to communicate with us, please? And once again, nothing. I'm like, okay, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. I go to I go to bed. I wake up the next morning to a big crash in the kitchen around 7 a.m. And I'm like, whoa. And my friend's like, well, that's Linus, my cat. And I'm like, well, no, Linus is right here. So I go downstairs and I had a couple of trays on top of my refrigerator that literally hasn't moved in like 16 years. And they have just been thrown off the top of the refrigerator. And there's no decline. There was nothing. There's like no vibration that moved them or anything. So that was pretty incredible. And once again,
whoa.
Yeah. So you got to be careful with this stuff.
Yeah, the Ouija board, I mean, maybe it was bought in return. I mean, you probably have played this through your head as far as like what's attached to it or just in general if something's attached to it. Woof, that's creepy.
Well, and you know, the thing about Ouija boards too is that, you know, you're and like with any paranormal equipment, honestly, you're opening up yourself, you're opening up an area for, you know, asking spirits to come through. You know, you're asking them, can you please come through?
Yep.
But you have to be careful that you're bringing through something good. And, you know, if we were to believe for a second that this phone call and voicemail are legit, which I do think they are, but I would understand if people are like, no way. I mean, the orchestration of the Ouija board with that phone number, just the stars aligning the way they are to make that happen, pretty incredible.
Goosebumps. That's wild. Yeah. And there are people who just, when I tell them I own a Ouija board, they get freaked out. You can't tell everybody that you've got 10.
No, you can't.
Like, no.
Well, and when you do these events and stuff, we do not allow Ouija boards at the events. You know, it just, there are certain things that we just have to be very careful about because there are people who do know how to use them. I don't consider myself someone who knows how to use one, to be very honest. So it just, I don't use them anymore. But I've had people make me Ouija boards that are very beautiful. And then, like, I have the 100-year-old one. Someone gave me one that's, like you know, about the size of a ruler. You know, it's just some really interesting stuff. So the thing is that they are, they're beautiful as well.
Yes, I agree. And I think that there's something about, like, that sort of thread through time of how much people have wanted to make that connection, right? Whether it's, again, someone that they've lost or wanting to be, you know, confirm that there's the energy is still there. It's fascinating. And I hope that, you know, I know a lot of people listen to the radio and they'd like to call in and share their stories. I wanted to know, like, I get nervous calling into shows too. And it really is an intimate and great conversation to have. Just, I think that everyone's got a little bit of something, don't you think?
I do. I really do. And the thing about that, too, is you get people calling in and they are able to kind of just put it out there in a way that you just don't get on other levels. And a great example of this is that we had a demonologist on about 2 months ago, and Adam took a caller who did not want to come on the air, but she just said, you know, I was brought up to believe that we shouldn't be talking about this at all. Is that true?
Ooh.
You know, and it's like, it wasn't like a, you know, how dare you talk about it. She's like, this is what I've always brought up. Is that not true? And we asked our demonologist friend, Dr. Kenneth Torres, and he's just like, no, I mean, this we do want to talk about. We do want people to know so that they can understand if something comes up that they don't quite understand or whatever else. And that's the great part about it is that it you know, I don't know if she necessarily got her mind changed by it or something, but she was able to ask a very intelligent question. And then we had someone right there to immediately answer. And I love that part of it.
And I love that she was listening too. You know, she wants to, you know, have to be exposed to that, to sort of know more about the whole picture. That was great.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Now I know that you probably want to get back to family and stuff. I don't want to keep you.
I promised them. I did. But one of these days, let's do an. I would love to do an hour if you'll have me.
I would love to do that. For folks who are listening on AM 950, stay tuned. Not just tonight, but every night after my show for Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez. We only get your last hour, though. We don't get the full show.
Well, where are you going to take an hour away from your show?
I think that's what happened, actually. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's not put that out there. Today I did something local, but I usually try to do more broad topics in the second hour. But just because of time, we did feature a local farmer's market, but I also love talking about the farmer's markets. But anyway, yes, I appreciate the time, and it was great to meet you on the air, and hopefully sometime we'll meet in person.
That would be fantastic, and you and your family have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Be well.
Thank you very much. Patty Vasquez, Driving Home with Patty Vasquez, Monday through Friday on AM 950 at 11 p.m. and WCPT 820 a.m. at 5 to 7 every afternoon. So definitely check that out. I listen to her literally every night when I'm driving home. And I love her banter. I love the way that she talks to guests. I love just everything about her show. So if you haven't, please give it a shot. I really think it's great. Especially tonight's episode is fantastic. The last half hour, powerful radio, Adam. Powerful radio. Marconi Award winning radio tonight.
That's just not because you're on it, right?
Oh, that's right. I am on it. I totally forgot about that part of it. So, yeah, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. What's on your mind, folks, tonight? Casual Friday. Tell us whatever you want to tell us. We are around for another 25 minutes. And if you're at Michigan Paracon this weekend and you are listening, well, first of all, then it must not be a great convention if you're listening to us and not partying. But if you are listening to us at Michigan Paracon, give us a call. I'd love to know what it's like out there this year. I mean, apart from the fact that, as you and I talked, Adam, beforehand, a lot of people had trouble getting there due to the severe weather.
Yeah, nasty weather hanging around Detroit was seeing on Twitter, X, whatever it's called this month.
It will always be Twitter to me.
It's like the Sears Tower. It will always be the Sears Tower. I was reading the Destination Fear group. They had a couple of flights canceled. Dustin Parry of Ghost Hunters fame and Ghost Hunters International, and one of my favorites to follow on Twitter because we're both huge wrestling fans.
Sure.
He was in a bus with people under a bridge because of tornado warnings in the Detroit metro area. They were kind of waiting that out before they could actually get to the site of the event.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. I mean, and I saw a lot of people who were flying in. They flew into Detroit, or maybe they were rerouted to Detroit, that had to spend the night in the airport, which if you're doing a convention, which takes so much out of you, there's nothing worse than having to spend a night in an airport. That would be horrific.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the chats, Brad asked if I had brought the REM pod that I purchased from him.
Crack Skull Paranormal.
And I didn't, and I wish I did.
So before we, because we have about 7-8 minutes before we go to break, what's going on here that you want to get the equipment in tonight?
All right, so literally 15 minutes before you showed up.
Yeah.
I'm checking the station Gmail to see if you had emailed anything in particular, because we didn't communicate before the show this tonight. I wasn't sure if Patty was pre-recorded and we were going to do the second half live.
Sure.
So I hop in to check the email, and there's this, when you look at the studio, there's a window out here with the hall light on, and you can see a reflection in between two monitors hanging here.
Yeah.
That the reflection blacked out. The light in the back room goes on again like it did a couple weeks ago. Right back off. I hear a couple of bangs, and then it honestly was like when you're in line and somebody comes up right behind you and like invade your personal space, all in like a flurry of like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you came in, and I'm like, dude, walk by the window. I want to make sure nobody was in here. Went back and looked before you got here. Nobody was back here. Didn't see anybody in, you know, pull in off the CCTV until you got here.
Yeah.
So you got here. And yeah, that's the second time now. And I really wish I'd have brought that REM pod in, because there is a spot for me to set it down and peep it out. And the wife was nagging me too. She's like, well, I shouldn't say nagging, but she's like, well, what time do you want to get up? Don't you want to go get a 9-volt? And I'm like, let's just see how I feel after I get up from taking a nap, because I work today.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just, yeah, it's like I wanted to eat dinner and then just come in here. I really wish I would have grabbed that 9-volt.
What I don't think people will know or appreciate, and you know, I'm here by myself Monday through Wednesday night, and this is a creepy place by itself. It truly is. I'm feeling stuff all the time here. Like I am pulled to watching the window, and I'm pulled to looking behind me,
and
where you are right
yeah,
now.
And you know what, honestly, I do watch your live streams when I'm not here, and I do see your head kind of move from time to time. And for a little bit there, I'm like, what is he looking at? And it's like, then the light happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was like, that's what he's looking at. Yeah. I'm not the only one who feels creeped out once that sun goes down here.
There is constantly stuff happening here. And I don't know if I told you this. I got the okay from Chad to do an investigation here.
I'm so down.
And we'll do a Facebook Live of it, and we're gonna set up in different locations. He's fine with everywhere. He is fine with everywhere, and I mean, just figure out, and people can watch. They can weigh in. We call that Living Paranormal is our brand for that. And this is, I mean, there is something I don't think bad by any stretch of the imagination, but there certainly is. And, you know, when I walked in today, I mean, I could tell immediately that something distressed you, because I'm just like, hey, and you're just like, hey, you know, you could tell right away.
And the vibe in the room in that 2 minute span completely changed. But the thing is, though, I don't think it's anything evil, like you said, or bad.
No.
I think it's somebody who may have been here prior just going about their routine.
It's
could be a residual. I don't know. But I don't know any residuals that flip lights.
No. There's something. I think there's something intelligent here.
Not me.
Brad Webb asks, how big is this place? Well, it's big enough for a colony of ants, if that helps.
You ever see them? Yeah, those six-footers, they're here.
Shard's like, it's actually small. The funny thing is, it is and it isn't small. Because you have the whole upstairs, you have the downstairs, and the way I'm describing it is amazing, I know. But, you know, it's like you go out back and you can see both floors. You know, it's like one of those, what do you call that? It's like not split level, but, you know, it's
a dual level. But yeah. Think the Brady's house. That's kind of what it looks like when you pull up.
Except creepier.
Much creepier. And with, no AstroTurf for lawn.
Like the Brady's house, creepier with turkeys, snakes, ants, bunnies.
Yeah, at least there are bunnies.
And it's something. And, you know, I mean, and I'm not trying to, Well, we'll get into this because we're already running over break. Let's do this. Let's take our next break. When we come back, we're going to continue chatting about stuff. Whatever you want to talk about, put it in the chat. You can give us a call, 952-946-6205. There's a lot more to talk about. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
If you own a holistic or metaphysical business and are looking to expand, then you need to be listed on metamorphosisconnections.com. It's a network where you can grow with like-minded practitioners and reach new clients. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory you need to list yourself and your business. Our platform makes it easy for you to create listings of your products and services, and you can also choose to list your classes, events, and so much more. MetamorphosisConnections.com helps you create weekly and monthly promotional ads targeted towards your potential clients and promotes them for you via social media and newsletter. There are clients searching for your specialty right now. Let us help them find you. Start your listing today so you can share your own unique gifts and talents by finding the level of membership that best fits your needs. Let us help you reach your clients that are searching for what you do. Visit MetamorphosisConnections.com and sign up today.
And join us Monday, August 28th, as we bring on Joe Franke, who talks to us about investigating with N. Lorraine Warren, the Warren Legacy Foundation, and his thoughts on the current state of paranormal investigating. I think that's very important because Joe has a very strong opinion on a lot of things, and I mean that in a very good way. He's a great person to talk to, and you know, you don't really get a lot of people that you talk to that have actually investigated with Ed and Lorraine Warren. So I'm very curious about that, and he's a good guy, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. So that's going to be Monday, and then next week we're going to have a whole wonderful week of guests and stuff coming up. And I got to tell you, Adam, I mentioned it beforehand, it's not set in stone yet, but I think we got Cindy Kaza.
I hope so. She is one of my, I guess, favorite, if you would call it, TV personalities in the psychic realm, medium realm. I think I would love to ask her about automatic writing, what that kind of sounds like in her head as she's jotting it down. And it just seems like, you know, you've seen her in several shows, and it almost feels like she gets stronger as the years have gone on. Mm-hmm. And she's been more pinpoint. And plus, she rolls with Dave, and I put a lot of trust when, you know, Dave Schrader is vouching for them.
I'll tell you, when at the event this last weekend, we talked about it on the show yesterday, I guess, was just that real bond that Cindy, Dave, and Shane had created while working on Holzer Files. Those are Dave's go-to. Like if he had a dream team of people to investigate, he'd pick those two as well as bring in Jeff Belanger.
And that's Jeff Belanger. I love listening to him talk.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He's a good one. I really dig him. But yeah, when you go back to Holzer Files, I mean, it didn't feel forced at all with the three of them.
No.
And, you know, I thought those two with KD on Ghost of Devil's Perch worked really well together, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I'm looking forward to that if we can get that going, because we wanted to be able to promote the new season of Dead Files coming up. I'm going to have Daryl Marston on coming up soon here, too, and a lot of great people. But a week from today, we're not going to be on because we're getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, long holiday weekend, Labor Day. So be sure you're all safe, sober, because we will want to see you that following Tuesday after Labor Day weekend, back talking about spirits and not trying to talk to you as a spirit.
Exactly. And if anyone has anything on their mind they want to share with us tonight, call in 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Or if you want to put something into the chat, and we can talk about that as well, whatever's on your mind. You know, speaking of the Michigan Paracon that's going on, and I think that is the largest Paracon in the United States currently. I don't recall if there's another one that's larger. I'm sure someone will happily correct me if I'm wrong. But back in the day, have you ever been to a Paracon of any kind, Adam?
No, unfortunately, I have not. I wanted to go to Fort Wayne's last year.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone back to Indiana in years.
Used to be a convention in Monona, in Minnesota, at the Shooting Star Casino, which was a big Paracon. It was, you know, I mean, they were bringing in tons of guests, like 20 to 30 guests from shows and stuff. I mean, it was on a scale of like the Michigan Paracon scale. And it ended not well because most of the guests were all handled by one agent.
Oh, that's never good.
You know where this is going.
Yep.
And he'd been doing it for a number of years. And then he decided one year, I'm going to have a grand finale of my own, and I am going to negotiate their fees. And because the way it worked, that he would negotiate the fees, the casino would pay him and he would pay everybody else. But that year he decided, you know what? I'm not going to pay anybody else. I'm going to keep it all myself. And so they did the convention, and all these celebrities are like, oh, time for me to get paid, whatever else. And they're asking the casino, and the casino's like, no, we have paid this person. Meanwhile, this person and his wife skipped town, they went on the run.
Oof.
And they eventually were caught, but that was the end of the current iteration of that Paracon. And there's been some that had been attempted since, one in Duluth, poorly ran, and the same person tried to do one in Vegas, and he didn't take the money, but he didn't pay people because he didn't have the money because they didn't have the attendance. And that turned pretty ugly as well. And the moral of the story is, if you don't know business, if you don't know how to run conventions, don't do it.
Yeah, I remember when they tried to get the one going in Duluth, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a great idea. I wanted to go. Josh Gates was supposed to be there, but it was like Duluth in January.
Hmm.
It's like, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And what happens, I think, theory, what happens is that people are so, like, they see that it can look easy to run. And then they kind of get up like, I can hang out with all of my favorite TV guests, and I can, you know, I will be, you know, lauded in the paranormal community because I'm putting on these conventions and stuff. But what it comes down to is, you know, especially if you're trying to put on a convention during COVID, you're trying to do all sorts of things that, you know, you just don't know how to do. And some try to just do it by themselves. What you end up with is a bit of a disaster, and it's very unfortunate that that's how it goes. So it's soured a lot in Minnesota in particular. You know, it's like now, back in the day, you could get a guest and you could pay maybe a little up front and a little bit later, you know, finish later or whatever, or pay it all later. Now you have to get them. You have to pay them up front. And some of these guests, they go, I mean, there's one I'm not going to give out the name. His appearance, and he hasn't really been on a show in years, is $8,000 for a weekend. How do I know? Because I looked into all this, and you cannot even announce that you are having this person at the event until you pay up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've seen a lot of contract, especially folks who, that's where their living comes from, or is doing the conventions, because they used to be on TV or a movie star or whatever, and they're not getting the roles. They're gonna make all their money on the convention scene, whether it be the Paracon conventions, the Comic-Con conventions, whatever it might be. So, yeah, I can definitely see them having an exorbitant fee or pay me up front and not wait for the gate.
Yeah, no, you have to. I mean, I understand being paid up front. And I mean, who am I to say why anyone is I'm going to agree with this, Ernie. I'm going to put up Ernie's comment here. Ernie says that, to be honest, 90% of the paranormal celebs think way too highly of their worth. This is where I think this happened is, I think the Minnesota convention is what ruined it for everybody in the country, the Paracons in Monona, because they were throwing great amounts of money at these guests that weren't making that kind of money.
Right.
And then suddenly they're like, well, we can command this kind of fee now. at least some of them. I doubt all of them. And this is where you end up with this sort of where we are now, because I know for a fact some of these conventions on the East Coast who have many, many guests, they're not all getting those exorbitant fees as well.
No, a lot of them are just getting, like I know with a lot of them, they just get whatever their table brings in.
Now, Linda says it's possible to run a great convention for a first timer if you can find truly experienced folks to run it. It takes a good year to plan a good convention. I wouldn't disagree with that one bit. Now, switching gears a little bit, let's see here. Brad had sent you some clips about Waverly. Have you had a chance to look at those?
Yeah, I actually have taken his sound clips. He sent me those in a private message on Facebook. Yeah, that one's still called Facebook. I think it's going to be called Meta in a little while, but that one's still on Facebook. The first one he sent me, it sounds evil because to him it sounds like kicked in the crotch.
Okay.
And it's a mischievous voice, in my opinion. And when he told me what he thought it said, I listened back to it. It's like, oh, yeah, that is definitely does sound like kicked in the crotch, groin, somewhere around there. To me, that would be an evil spirit. He was also telling me about there was a very rude one towards all the females that were there at Waverly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of creepy as well. And then he posted pictures on Facebook, and I went looking through them, and I thought I saw something in one of them. Turns out I just had a smudge on my phone because I was about to hit Brad back up. It's like, is that a white image in the background? And I dusted off my phone real quick and deleted my message that I was about to send him because, no, it was my phone. But that was completely unexpected. I knew he was going out to Waverly. I think it was last Wednesday.
Yep.
And, yeah, like 10 o'clock at night, my phone starts going off with some private message. And it's like, oh, cool, it's Brad. Ooh, sound clips. Click, click, click. Threw my headphones on, started listening to him. Thank you very much for that.
Well, you got to be careful when you're sending Adam clips at night because that means a night of lights on. And, I'm not sure if everyone is all happy in the house about that. So kind of jumping around a bit, going into the comments, Linda says Jeff Belanger's book about Kilimanjaro would make a great interview. I've interviewed Belanger before on the show, and AM950 lost that episode.
What?
Yeah. There's no, because we had to get him in early. We had to do a pre-record, and I cannot find it. It's not listed in the archive. It is. I asked Brett if we could rerun it, and he's like, I don't know what that is.
Oh.
And it was a good show. I mean, Jeff is a wealth of information.
And, he is.
And people could be like, well, just get him on again. It's not that easy.
No, it's not.
So that's a huge, huge bummer. Talking about conventions, Mr. Ernie Pack says that they charge appearance fees and they want a wad of cash for every photo they pose for. Those same people would not be recognized by anyone outside the convention hall. Now, so let me get on my soapbox real fast about that, because I agree. And some people who I've talked to who are, quote, celebrities, I really want to say to them, if I take a picture of you and bring it to downtown Minneapolis and show it to 100 people, how many of those people do you think are going to recognize you? Now, the other side to this, though, is that, and I know Ernie knows this as well, like when I was close to getting a TV show, the amount they wanted to pay us was truly peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that is because the Travel Channel said, we know that you will make that up in convention appearances. Rightly or wrongly, you have to make it up somewhere, you know?
Yeah. And for a lot of those folks, I mean, they're already on the road, you know, half the year to film their 12 or 13 episodes, because, you know, we see a 42-minute chunk with commercials. But a lot of these guys, they're out of these places 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah.
And then to have to travel more to make it up for the conventions, it does go both ways.
So, and then Ernie says most of those are under contract with agents. Okay, so that's another thing. They're not agents. I mean, some might be agents, but often are handlers that have never had experience doing any of this before. There's been a couple of people who I had wanted for events, and they've taken 4 weeks to get back to me about their availability. And that's ridiculous. And so we had to drop certain celebrities from appearing in our events because people were taking forever to get back to us. And it's like it's an agent is proactive. A handler is somebody who just fills a schedule and is not even aware of what the other schedules are for the celebrities. So it's flawed. Let's put it that way.
Oh, it definitely is a flawed system.
So, let's see here. Linda says, I heard that celebrities who are under contract. Adam, can you hit the monitor, please? Cause it's on screensaver, the timer, the clock to your, there you go. All right. Thank you. Linda says that I heard that celebrities who are under contract with a TV show may have a clause in their contract regarding fees that have to collect for doing a non-show event, a fee that may be released. There's a lot. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get screwed over. It's as simple as that.
And you know, that kind of thing even goes back to the athletes back in the day where you could only sign a certain style of like trading card.
Right. Exactly. Now, as we wrap up the week, don't forget on Monday, we're going to have Joe Franke on, who investigated with Ed and Lorraine Warren and is part of the Warren Legacy Foundation. And please make sure to visit ghostboxradio.com to find past episodes of our radio shows and like us over at Facebook at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. Also send any comments or feedback to comment@ghostboxradio.com. Don't forget to check out Best of Ghostbox Radio, airing Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m. on AM 950. And finally, whether you're chasing spirits or just drinking them tonight, please be careful. And we'll see you Monday as we talk about investigating with Ed and Lorraine Warren. Everyone, have a great weekend and take care.